in me, I have all the same ingredients that Macbeth has. And in order to admit that, you have to be brave. You have to say, I have a murderer in me. I have these impulses in me. I have violence in me. I have things that are unwelcome or things that are worthy of being ostracized. But I'm going to embrace those parts of me and show them to you so that we can all understand ourselves better.
That's Nancy Bell, a local actor and playwright, and the driving force behind Shakespeare in the Streets. Oh, and I'm Willis.
And I'm Nancy. I'm Nancy Fowler. I say that because there are two Nancys in today's story.
And this is Cut and Paste, St. Louis Public Radio's arts and culture podcast.
Believe it or not, Nancy Bell is nowhere near as dark as she seems to be in that first cut. But it is pretty dramatic.
Yeah, it is. Nancy, other Nancy, our guest, she's spent a lifetime collecting stories, and she turns them into performances. Yet her own story is pretty wild.
It includes a peacock, an unorthodox murderer, and a blood-spattered stage.
But that's not really reflective of her upbringing. Nancy Bell grew up in Marietta, Georgia. Am I saying that right?
Marietta.
Marietta.
As we call it.
Where she quickly fell in love with theater.
And by the time she auditioned for conservatory, she'd fallen in love with both Shakespeare and the stories of real people. Do you remember what your audition piece was back then?
Yeah, I did Rosalind and As You Like It, which was my first professional job. I got my equity card doing that. The other one was a piece I wrote, actually, based on an interview, which is funny because that's what I do now. And it was a touring show for high schools about children who grew up affected by addiction. And now that I think about it, it was really ahead of its time because there's a lot of work like that now. But we interviewed people and then we wrote and did exercises. So it was a monologue I wrote about a girl who was an alcoholic, okay. Which was so far from my life. But, you know, I was really into it.
Was there any truth behind it? Did you know somebody that was the basis?
No, I met her. You know, I interviewed people.
So this was based on a real person and
their
story?
Yeah, it was, but it was very much filtered through my imagination. It's a lot like what I do with Shakespeare in the Streets, actually. So funny, I'd never made that connection before.
And she never realized how that initial audition would mirror her work 30 years later in St. Louis. At the time, she was just happy that State University of New York Purchase accepted her.
I really spent all of my time just working on acting. I didn't take other classes, hardly at all.
And that dedication paid off. After graduation, she found herself in New York looking for parts and trying out for stuff.
I got an agent right away, which was great. And I just started going out on auditions. And those first couple of years, you know, I think it's Uta Hagen says that a young actor should wear out a pair of shoes a month. And I actually did that. I remember I actually wore a hole in the bottom of a pair of shoes I had in the first month I was in New York auditioning. Because I just auditioned like, you know, three or four times a day. And just you in New York, you're walking. And I remember that time so vividly as being just so heady and exciting and frustrating too. Because no matter how many auditions you go out on, most of them you don't get.
I was just going to ask what one of the excruciating experiences was for you.
God, I blocked them all out. Why would you ask me that? I remember commercials can be really stressful because a lot of times you have no idea what's going to happen in the room. They're just like, just go in there and they'll tell you what to do. And I remember sitting outside the door. It was like one of those first weeks and sitting outside the door and one by one, people were going in. Women who looked a lot like me, like 40 women who looked just like me, walked into the door, you know, walked into this door. The door would close and then you'd hear, "Ooh, ooh." And I was sitting out there going, what is it? What do I have to do when I go in?
And at this point, we were wondering too.
I go in, and the woman is incredibly rude. She's like, come in. There's a chair. Stand on the chair. I'm going to turn on the camera, and I'll tell you what to do. So I stand on the chair, and she goes, all right, are you ready? Go. Oh, my God, you're falling. You're flying. Oh, my God, you're flying. It's amazing. All right, thank you.
As she tells the story, Nancy, like, waved her hands and adopted a pinched look while talking in the casting agent's voice. You can hear that audition was not near and dear to her heart.
Did you get that job?
No.
But she had good memories from those early years.
Like, one of the first or second weeks, I had a audition for something at NBC. I was in the elevator. It was one of those, you know, my first auditions. And I, you know, had my little headshot, and I was in the elevator, and the elevator opened, and it was this big, huge peacock, and it said NBC, and I just had this feeling of, like, I'm here.
Nancy wasn't acting full-time, but she did have an unexpected chance to hone her skills outside theater and off-camera.
First couple of years, I worked as a telemarketer at night selling accidental death and dismemberment insurance over the phone. Really hard to sell anything with the word dismemberment in it. I only really had to do it for 2 weeks, but I was really good at it those 2 weeks. It was a really crazy job because I had my days free to audition, and then I'd show up at like 5, and then I'd be there till like midnight or 1.
Do you feel like you actually had to practice your craft while you were telemarketing?
Well, yeah, I would do different accents and stuff, and Southern accents, I discovered, were always more effective. I sold more if I used Southern accents.
Eventually, she left her Southern charm behind and took a step away from Shakespeare and local stories.
She landed a recurring role on America's longest-running TV series, a soap opera. It may seem silly, but a social justice element remained in her work.
And you were a regular on The Guiding Light as Susan
Bates?
Yeah,
I had a contract role, Susan Bates. It was about a year. She was the first female character on a soap opera to have AIDS.
You don't want to endanger them, right? Wait a minute. I never have been, and I never will be, a danger to Nick.
I was really unprepared for it because it kind of put me in this role of spokesperson. You know, I had to sort of educate myself a lot about that issue, and, you know, it meant a lot to people, so.
How did you actually prepare for that role?
As far as how did I prepare for the role acting-wise, I just approached it like any other role. But that role of being spokesperson and showing up at events and that, I just did a lot of reading and talking to people and trying to understand what the experience of having AIDS at that time was. That was back when there was no real treatment for AIDS. It was before there were protease inhibitors, so it really was a disease that was a death sentence.
Yeah, some people might think of soap operas as fluff, but in fact, they were addressing important issues.
I think they are fluff, but I think fluff is great. There's nothing wrong with fluff. But yeah, I do think that soap operas try to do the best they can, just like everybody else.
And what was the fate of Susan Bates?
She got married, so had a big wedding. That was awesome. She and her husband now flew off to Europe to live out her final days. And then actually about a year later, I went back on the show for a couple of episodes. They brought me back because it was sort of this tragic storyline, this beautifully romantic storyline. You know, I had AIDS, but we fell in love, and we got married, and then we're going to go to Europe to live out my last days. But then right after that, that's when protease inhibitors happened, and they really wanted to sort of rewrite the ending for me. So they brought me back for a couple of episodes where I had these lines like, they're like, Susan, how are you? You're back. Yes, thanks to these new drugs I'm taking, I'm feeling much better. I think they really did care about the storyline and wanted to make sure that their viewers knew that the story of AIDS was changing.
And yet, Nancy Bell and her character Susan Bates were not immune to the more ridiculous plots of daytime TV.
Part of my storyline was that I was attacked by this person. It was a man in drag, basically, a man dressed up like a woman.
Well, it seems to me that things work out if you let them.
The audience knew this, but I didn't, and I thought she was just my friend, and we were having this friendship. So the audience knew that this person was actually trying to kill me, but I didn't. And so I would get mail from lots of people all over the country. Be careful. She is not your friend.
As if you could open the letter and say, oh, my gosh, I've been so wrong.
Yeah.
So you're a serious actor as
I don't know about that.
I've seen you in, you know, fairly serious roles, and you've done commercials, and you've done soap opera. So you don't seem to be a snob about the profession.
I don't think so. I do have standards, Nancy.
I love how she acts insulted. After leaving Guiding Light, those standards brought Nancy, again, the other Nancy, not our host, to Los Angeles. She worked there for 13 years before coming here to St. Louis.
Where she's become an integral part of the theater scene, and one role is particularly legendary. I've seen you in several plays here. One that I especially remember was Who is Sylvia?
Oh, yeah.
Or The Goat.
The Goat.
For those who don't know the plot, could you sort of summarize that for us?
Well, a woman receives a letter from a friend that her husband is having an affair with a goat and is completely in love with the goat. The play is mostly him trying to explain to her why he's in love with the goat. And it's very realistic. He really does try to explain to her how tenderly he feels about this goat and why he needs to have this goat, and she just can't process it. Trashes the house, just starts to throw things one by one, and at the same time, speaking this incredibly witty and tortured and really relatably sad dialogue.
And I remember being in the audience, and a book actually flew by my head.
I'm sorry.
Pretty good art.
That was not planned if that happened. Were you in the front row?
I was in like the second row. It was a pretty good
pitch. It flew by your head, really? I certainly did not mean to throw it into the audience. It's a really tiny space. And I know with the books, I was just supposed to sweep them off the shelf. And sometimes they just went flying.
It was great. I felt as if I were a part of it. You know, during the rehearsals and so forth, were they cathartic in a way because
yes.
you got to throw things around?
Yes. It was so great. That is the greatest role. That has got to be one of the greatest roles written for a woman my age ever. It couldn't be a more exciting and fun role because, you know, it's meant to be a Greek tragedy, but it has an incredible amount of humor in it. And being able to just take a pristine white set every single night and completely trash it by the end of the play, I just loved every minute of it. And I was working with really great people who I loved and trusted. And one time I had a little tiny cut in my hand, just a tiny cut in my finger. I somehow cut it during the show, and when I started to throw things, the whole set just started being splattered with blood. It just bled and bled and bled, and every time I threw something, more blood would fly through the air. It was completely insane, but it was great. It was perfect for that show.
While getting rave reviews for her performances, Nancy's also made a name for herself writing for Shakespeare in the streets.
And that's a return to her roots and a chance to stretch artistically.
The program reimagines classic Shakespeare in different St. Louis neighborhoods.
The playwright and others interview local residents, and then they adapt the story to suit the neighborhood.
They dig as deeply as possible, it seems.
I really spend a lot of time working on Shakespeare in the Streets and care a lot about that project. My work in Shakespeare in the Streets has given me an opportunity to get to know the city a lot and what its challenges are and what holds it back. And I think, obviously, it's obvious now, I think, to everybody that we have serious issues with race and privilege and class and we're a hugely divided city. And lots of cities are in America, but I think St. Louis is a really, really divided city. And I think that is really holding it back.
You seem very passionate about that.
I am. I am so lucky because I moved to the city. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know the city. And it's really through that project that I've really bonded with the city because I had this invitation and opportunity and reason to meet a lot of people I would not have otherwise met and to really get to know them and to invite them to tell me stories and to try to create something that would be relevant to them. Like, that's what we're really trying to do with Shakespeare in the Streets, is create a theater experience that is uniquely relevant to its audience. I can't tell you how much it means to me to go to some of those neighborhoods that we've already done. You know, when I just drive down Cherokee Street or the Grove, I have this feeling of connection that's really powerful that I don't think I even had in L.A. when I lived there for 13 years. Yeah, the answer is that's how I became passionate about it, through Shakespeare in the Streets. Not just me, but the whole artistic team, we spend a whole year in that neighborhood just going to events and meeting people and interviewing people and researching the history of that neighborhood, doing story circles and volunteering and just showing up there and getting a feel for it.
There's a neighborhood or a town, of course, right now that's in the national spotlight, Ferguson. I can't help but wonder if that might be a choice, and how would you approach that?
Me too.
Have you thought about it?
I think that the people of Ferguson need to speak about it instead of other organizations sort of coming in. And I think it's important that there's room made for them to speak, the people who live there. You know, Shakespeare in the Streets can do that, but we would be sort of an outsourced organization coming in. So I think for right now, it's important that we just listen to Ferguson.
That was local playwright and actor Nancy Bell.
If you've listened well, you'll notice that sometimes she favors listening over performing.
But you know what? If you ask an actor for a story, you'll get a performance. Cut and Paste is written and produced by Willis Arnold.
And Nancy Fowler.
With the help of our editor, Donna Carando.
The music you've heard throughout the show was produced by local musician Eric Hall.
We're a project of St. Louis Public Radio. You can find us online at stlpublicradio.org.
Sorry, I was like trying
to
hold
it. Did you cough at the end of my third take?
No, I don't think it's in there.
It's fine, we'll do one more time.